Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us today is South African actress Shubi Maboya, who wears several caps. On your Twitter profile, it describes you as actress, athlete, thrill seeker, renegade, educator, warrior scholar. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a blessing and it's a privilege to be here, Doctor.
We're really grateful that you could have taken the time out to join us today. You have an extensive acting career and you've graced the covers of numerous magazines, both South African as well as international. Can you please take us to some of those moments where all that hard work that you invested into building your career finally paid off?
I think it's still going to take a lot more hard work and a lot of more dedication and a lot more focus for me to say that I've arrived. I believe in wearing and eating the humble pie, but I do have goals, and I think that's very important. I do have things that I want to accomplish, and I find that sometimes the person we see in the mirror is our biggest and worst critic, and the biggest and worst person to put pressure on ourselves. But I love challenges. I thrive on pressure. I thrive on thinking out of the box. I thrive on taking risks. But I think with my heart a lot, and I make a lot of mistakes. But I all think that's a process of going for opportunities. And Dr. Amalia, I feel that I'm in a place right now whereby I'm 37. I just got married. There's still babies I'm planning to have. But I've just scratched the surface of me as an actress. I'm an advocate and I'm a believer of the African might. I believe in the African girl child. So there's so many things that I still want to dabble with and conquer and make a difference with and lend a hand with. So I'm a very busy girl, but at the same time, I've got very wholesome values and missions and core statements that I am worthy of, and I love that about myself.
Well, I think that one of the great things is that life is a work in progress.
Absolutely.
And as we do more, we see that there is so much more left
to
do.
Absolutely. You know, once I've kind of ticked the box of one thing, whether it's athletic, whether it's spiritual, whether it's making a difference, whether it's breaking the boundaries, I'm like, what's next? I really want to leave a legacy for the African girl child that they can be their own champions, and they really don't have to be fearful. They have to be brave, and they have to have a fighting spirit, because I walk that talk.
And whilst we're talking about the African girl child, I think that's a wonderful expression in terms of being their own champions, being brave. Our program, Womanity, Woman in Unity, is all about gender equality, which it's increasingly becoming a global focus. More and more we're hearing about developments from UN Women and other institutions like that. But as such, building female leadership is really important to capacitate not only women in our own country, in the professional space, in the educational space, private sector as well. How do you see female leadership, whether it's on the political side, in schools, business, or in the industry that you're from?
Well, let me first start off as being an actress and an artist in this country. You know, it's so hard to find leading roles for the black female. It is so hard, whether it's television, whether it's in the theater, whether it's film, whether it's international films.
Do you think that's part of patriarchy and culture?
Absolutely. It's the history.
So it's almost stereotyping the roles of what a woman is expected.
And if we do get those roles, they're not roles that other girls want to look up to. Those aren't the roles that I want to play. Those aren't the roles that young girls want to play, you know. But at the same time, let me tell you that playing an HIV-positive Nandi Basotola and Isidingo for a decade, really, I earned credibility from honest critics. It opened my heart for it to be my purpose and my meaning, you know, to be an ambassador of any sort, not just HIV and AIDS. That really was an iconic role. Me being the first person in a media space acting and portraying and inspiring and educating and giving people hope was really beyond its time.
And you said you played Nandipa for 10 years.
Yes.
And is that about 10 years ago now? So around about the 2005 mark that you started?
I started 2000.
2000.
Yes.
So if we go back in history at that time, AIDS was still a very taboo subject.
Big time. You know, it was about eradicating the stigmas. It was really about sending a good message. It was about edutainment. And I loved that. You know, it was hard, but I had a great support structure, let me tell you. I mean, the writers did their research. It was constructed and we knew what we were talking about. And it became something that wasn't just on set for me. You know what? I'll always be daddy's girl. And my dad is the chairman of NEPAD. And NEPAD is just democratic change in Africa. And he's very much a philanthropist. And he's very much an educator. He's got his PhD in education. So, you know, filling those footsteps. I don't know. I think that's why I ran to the acting shoes. I'm like, it's too much. It's too much. But we really believe in the same thing. We love our people. We love the continent. And it's about educating the continent as best as we can. And at this point in time, he's really working with the Cameroon government as we speak in educating the midwives, because that's such midwives. I mean, that's such an important traditional woman, important role, you know, especially in Africa. So, you know, he's doing that. And, you know, I do a lot of work with the girls and... That's who I am. I'm my father's daughter.
So family elements coming in together.
Absolutely.
And I'd like to touch a little bit more a little later on in terms of some of those opportunities and the spaces you occupy now as a result of playing Nandipa and being an HIV AIDS activist and
yes.
ambassador.
Yes.
Tracking back in terms of women's development, what areas do you think we need to build on the most to benefit women in the future?
We need educators. I really believe that. We need being an athlete. You know, we need the sports role models, you know, who can really speak up to young girls out there. And just not young girls, just to women out there, that it is possible to kind of dominate in a male-orientated sport. And I think Kasta is just one of the many women who just broke all the boundaries, you know, and not only just on our shores, you know, internationally. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. And I say just being an actress, you know, we need that black female, you know, just to reign supreme at the Oscars, you know, and yes, tell the African story, but more important than that, telling human stories. Because I find that the African stories that we portray, it's always about gangsterism or HIV AIDS. You know, it really is the lower end of what the African continent really has to offer. You know, they don't want to show the good stuff. You know, they want to put us in that box. So that's my fight. I want to be able to be recognized as a great actress, not because I'm black, not because I'm from Africa. It's because I'm damn good at what I do and because I relate to people on the human level.
And with the roles, you were saying it was hard to find the right type of roles that you could occupy.
Yeah.
It sounds as though you found one now.
It's good. It's great.
Can you tell us a bit about
yes.
about the character and how she resonates with you and what you want her to achieve?
I'm on a daily drama or a soapy called Rhythm City, and really she's a venture capitalist. She works with her father and they run a company, and really she is the son that her father never has. So she really runs the business and her father trusts her in that. But I think sometimes... she lets the business rule her. She doesn't have a life, but she finds that their mother left them, you know, so she's always been the one looking after the father. So it really is that kind of moral kind of family commitment, and I love that. But I love the power aspect of what she plays. I love the fact that she's living her whole life and running the business. I think that young women would love to emulate that, and it's all about creating her own reality. And that's what I stand for.
And I think that that's one of the areas that being a role model for yourself in a way through the character you play. But more importantly, today you've become a role model for other young women, as you said, possibly to emulate characters like the one that you're playing on Rhythm City. You've provided evidence to many young women and girls in South Africa that with hard work and personal sacrifice, everything can be achieved.
Yeah, but sacrifice is such a big thing, and people don't want to sacrifice, you know. It's hard because sometimes you burn the candle at both ends if you don't, but something's going to give. So, and I learned that a lot through sports. That's why I'm such a big fan of sports, Dr. Amalia, is because just the life philosophies that I've learned being an athlete just surpass any ordinary explanation that I could give. I mean, sacrifice in sports is exactly what it's about, to be victorious and to be a champion, you know. It's about, you know, as any, you know, dedicated athlete would say, that hard work pays off. Time is everything, so manage your time carefully. It's about blood, sweat, and tears, and it's about discipline, and it's about commitment when nobody's watching. And that's what makes true champions. And I stand for that.
And that leads me on to one of the other areas that I wanted to talk about, because a lot of the guests who've been on our show, I ask them the same question in terms of what have been the factors of their success. And some of them have spoken about hard work. Others have talked about perseverance. You've mentioned
my faith.
Faith. So if you can just elaborate
my
a bit
faith.
More.
I was raised in a very strict Methodist household, but, you know, it's about my relationship with my God, and, you know, it's about believing when things get rough and things get tough, and it's about having faith that things will work out for the greater good, and I'm a great believer in that, and there's nothing better than God's timing. You know, I think being the human race and living in Johannesburg and being a fearless woman, we want things instantly. We want instant gratification. We want to know that our hard work has paid off. But sometimes and usually it doesn't happen when we want it to. But when it does happen, you realize the journey was the blessing, actually, not even the destination, about what you learned through going through that process and through sticking it out and through being determined and perseverance and never fearing failure. And I think that's the beauty about my next kind of space, is about being an entrepreneur, because I love being South African. I love being African. There are so many opportunities. The youth are just so vibrant. I'm addicted to their energy, and the opportunities just are endless. And it's about, especially when it comes to entrepreneurship, failing so many times, but you know that service or that project or that product that you believe you have to offer and that you believe is unique will, you know, come to fruition. And that's patience.
Patience, and one of the challenges on entrepreneurship is having that character, the strength of character, to know that things won't necessarily work out the way that you had planned in this lovely linear fashion. But at the end of the day, it's, I think there's a nice expression that they like to use in Silicon Valley, fail, but fail fast.
Love it. Love it. Love that.
And some of the pivotal moments in your life growing up, what would you say that they've been? What influenced
family
you?
Family is everything. Family is life.
And it sounds like your dad has had a huge impact on you.
You know, Dr. Amalia, I come from a big family on both sides. My mom is one of seven. My dad is part of eight, so I've got lots of cousins. And family is life. You know, I'm in an industry, especially when I come to the artists, where it's cutthroat. You really have to have a thick skin. And you need those people who you can go to when it gets rough and will be honest with you no matter what. No matter how rich or how popular or how famous you are, they'll bring you down to size. And family, you know, you might not like them, but you'll always love them. And they've been there for me, and I'm a big believer in that. And I think that that is what I call and base my morals and values and principles on, is, you know, my sense of family, and that, you know, I work for my family. You know, my family is my life. And they're the be-all and end-all, and I think that's everything.
It's multi-way that you've got the support structure. You've also got the brutal honesty of them telling
absolutely.
You who you are to bring you down to earth when you need to.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that just gives me a real sense of grounding when it comes to just the industry and a sense of belonging. Because, you know, the concrete jungle, you know, there are lots of lonely souls out there. There are lots of broken souls out there. And I have a comfort place. I will always have a home. I will always, and blessed to have parents who are still married. So I've got a lot to be grateful for. Gratitude is heaven.
You mentioned earlier that the industry is very cutthroat. Can you share with us some of the gender challenges that you've experienced and overcome in your career?
I think in general, just equal pay. You know, we all need to pay the bills, but you know what women, leading women and leading men are getting when it comes to salary wages is still a big discrimination.
Yeah,
big.
Well, on the average in South Africa, it's approximately 23% is the difference between your male counterpart versus female counterpart.
That's ridiculous, you know, and forget just being a freelancer. That's a contracted artist, you know, that's a contracted employee. And then once I said again, as I said before, it's about just the industry itself, that it just lends itself, and there's so many opportunities and there's so many avenues for males to get work, and not just in front of the camera, behind the camera. Our crews are mainly male operated, and it's, don't tell me it's the size of the equipment, because there are strong women out there, you know what I mean? But it's just the opportunities for women who are interested, you know, in, it's called pulling focus. You know, that's really like a technical jargon for a cameraman's assistant. And you just don't find women. And if they are there, they stick out like sore thumbs.
And what do you think, know? How do you think we can change the situation to encourage more women to participate?
You know what, it's kind of a cycle effect, because you only are encouraged when you can see what some woman doing it, and she's doing it well, and she's kicking butt, and she's got like the support and the admiration of the crew guys, you know. But when you don't see that, you feel like, oh my gosh, there really is no space for us.
So we need the visibility. We need the role models.
Visibility is everything. You know, we're those kind of creatures, you know. We need it to be tangible.
Yeah, tangible, validated.
Absolutely, you know, and it's there. It may not, you know, kind of blow out my industry too much, but it's not happening at a faster rate for me, you know. I'm yet to star in the leading role, you know, and we need more script writers that write those. We need more female script writers. We need more female directors, black female directors. You know, we're just lacking in those spaces. But I know that, and I believe in education, as you explained. So there are a lot of academies out there which are opening all over the place. And I also really try to empower young girls by just being vocal about my passion for the industry and going to schools, secondary schools. You know, one of my dreams, Dr. Amelia, is to open a secondary school for girls. I don't know how that's going to happen from my lips to God's ears, but that's
having the vision.
That's my calling. That's what I want to do. And, you know, making the arts and sports, you know, a something that you can really be proud of and be educated and earn money and have a sustainable career.
And on that note, I had an interesting conversation with Dr. Sibongile Khumalo. And one of the things that she brought out, which I hadn't really thought of as a perspective, was in terms of what the arts does for people, from either if it's through drama or through the sporting environment. She said that when you put a young person up there on that stage, they have to perform. They have to have that confidence. And this is one of the elements that the arts teaches you, and it teaches you the collaboration for teamwork.
Love that. You know, when you're on a set and you're with other people, you say, I'm acting with somebody, not that I'm acting against somebody, you know, and that's so true. It's complete collaboration. And I love working with people. I think people are just my soft spot, you know, and some of the greatest moments of my life have been teamwork, you know, and I've learned so much about myself in that process. And yeah, collaboration is everything for me. you know, in whatever box you want to put it in, no matter what I'm doing, I really thrive on working with women.
Yeah. And on the collaboration point and being a people's person, I saw that on your Twitter page, I think you've got about 85,000 fans, which is a big number. Well, can you share some of the responsibility that comes with having a huge fan base?
That's a great question. You know, I'm learning how important it is to engage with them. You know, I'm still kind of getting out of the habit of just putting out my own views and thoughts and feelings out there, but they want to interact. And I think that's the power of social media, is not just to throw out your views, is to engage with people. But at the same time, I can't engage with everybody, but I'm learning about that because it is a space to communicate. It is a medium to really empower and to find out about that. I mean, the power of social media in today's age, the digital space, for work, for business, business opportunities. I mean, I know who you are via that, you know, so it really is important. And I think I owe it to myself and I owe it to my fans to really engage more. And I think that's what I'm going to set out to do.
I think that those are very valid comments and how we navigate our new discussions and dialogues with people. We'll take a short break.
Hi, this is Lira, South African Afro Soul singer and songwriter. You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amelia Malka on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy.
Today we're talking to South African actress Shlubi Maboyo. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. Shlubi, one of the areas that we spoke about in the first segment of the show was your role as Nandipha Sithole on Isidingo, and it has opened numerous doors to you, particularly in terms of AIDS and HIV, being an ambassador. And I read that you traveled to various countries in the continent, Tanzania, Zambia. You mentioned that your dad is doing some work in Cameroon with midwives. And one of the areas that you'd also stated on was that your most important representation was at the Tshwane University, where you spoke about the future global impact on HIV on the youth. Can you share with us some of your experiences in that capacity as HIV/AIDS ambassador?
I find, and I can still say presently, that a lot of our youth are in denial and have apathy about their future. And that really, it kills me, you know?
And when you say that, are you saying then in a way that they're almost blatantly not caring?
They don't care.
So if
they don't care, or it's a sense of entitlement. It's either one or the other, you know? And gosh, if I could go back in time and have been at their age, I would have made a lot of different decisions, you know? And I had a great upbringing, you know? I realize these kids are in communities whereby it is a suction of negativity, alcoholism, abuse. They're either hating their own households. You know, I understand where they're coming from, but I have to be that beacon of light because I believe that maybe just my words or what they see me do can just inspire them just to break out of that mold, you know, out of that cycle of fear, you know what I mean? And that's why I really love projects whereby, you know, it's the disadvantaged areas and we take the kids out or we rather go to those places. And I believe that leaders are the kind of people that go to where the people are and where the needs are and really inspire them. And they, you know what, they don't even appreciate, you know, big, grandiose affairs. They just need to be listened to and given inspiration and given a sense of hope and a sense of belief because they can't find that where they live. And when they've kind of experienced a sense of hope That's all I need. That's the winner that I need. And we can go to as many schools as possible, but I just need that one change and that one child, and my work is done. You know?
So AIDS has such a big impact. From a South African point of view, I think from a population perspective, according to Stats SA recent figures, in South Africa there are about 5.5 million people living with HIV, and they equate that to about 10% of the population. It's a big number.
It's a lot. It's a lot. You know, and I think that my playing the role of Nandipa, it really was kind of putting out the message that HIV/AIDS, or rather HIV, is not a death sentence. It's a manageable, you know, disease that you can live with, you know, under obviously certain conditions. And, you know, it was about eradicating stigmas and getting yourself tested. And, you know, whether the message or whether my role has changed, you know, the stats, it's about the way I feel about what I've done. And it's about me believing in what I've done. And it's about me not being just something I did for television, that I really live that legacy and that'll be my life's work.
So it became more of a social concern for you?
Absolutely. Social justice.
And you were in Zambia, you were also in Tanzania.
Yeah.
How receptive were people to you towards the message?
You know what? Well, Isidingo plays in those areas, so it really is great to be recognized. Another real charity that I've been working with for almost 8 years is the United Nations World Food Program. And with them, I climbed Kilimanjaro with an expedition of all women. So, and we summited on International Women's Day, 8th of March. So it was really sisterhood.
Very special experience.
Very special experience.
And in terms of the contingents, the teams, were they from across the world?
So it was 7 Nepali women who obviously had summited Everest, 3 women from Tanzania, and then it was me, a South African lady. So it was really epic, to say the least. But afterwards, more importantly, is that we went to schools to tell them, we as women climbed the highest mountain in Africa. You know, don't tell us that we can't do that. We did it, and we came back to tell you that the only mountain that you can overcome is yourself, and you can do it. And don't anyone tell you anything less just because you're a girl. And they were like, wow. Especially when it came from the Nepali girls, because they were like, do you know where Everest is? And those kids knew. Some rural schools in the middle of Kenya, you know, knew Everest. And they were like, we climbed the highest mountain in the world. And you can see when you talk to them, you can see the response in their eyes.
The light starting to flash.
Yeah, and that's all I need. That's all I need.
Oh, what a special experience.
Doc, you have no idea. You know, it was rough. We roughed it. You know, but it was sisterhood and tears and sweat, and it was my birthday, my 30th birthday on the 2nd of March. So I spent it in the middle of nowhere, and
one that you will never forget.
One that
that's
I'll never
for sure.
forget.
And with the World Food Program, so beyond climbing Everest, raising that awareness, being an advocate and informing girls that anything is possible, food is a challenge globally. And one of the areas from an African point of view is that we've got a lot of women who do farming. With the AU, they're wanting to do a call in terms of land ownership to try to have 30% of land ownership into women's hands, because by and large, most of the women in small holdings are the ones that are doing all
absolutely,
the work.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I think just going back to the reason why it was so important about, you know, speaking to those girls after summiting Kilimanjaro is that the Maasai, you know, and the being nomadic, the girls don't stay in school for that long. Secondly is the fact that pregnancy, you know, they drop out of school. If anyone's going to go to school, it'll be the boys. So it really, the numbers of the girls just not even going to school, finishing school, are so low. So it was so important for us to go to those communities and just kind of endorse the fact of the girl child being in school and empowering them on that, you know. And what I also love about WFP is that they educate, you know, the substance farming aspect, especially to the woman. So it's not about giving handouts, you know, it's about them being able to sustain themselves for for any long time, periods of time, and that's what's so important.
So being empowered through
absolutely,
the skills that they're learning.
Absolutely.
And when you went in these ventures, because you know, it's very easy, I think, from a young girl to be inspired, but she's still got a family that she's going back to, a family which has these expectations, whether it's cultural, whether it's patriarchal, on what her place in society is.
Know.
They're the people that almost need to be spoken to more vigorously.
I know.
To be enlightened about what she can do with her life, to be beyond the limited realms that they've traditionally.
Yeah, I know. But it's usually the case is that when we speak to, you know, these schools, it's schools away from home, so it's almost like boarding schools, you know, because of, you know, the distances. So, yes, we want to involve, you know, the families and stuff like that. But the best we can do, Dr. Amalia, is just going to those schools. And maybe, you know, they can go to the parents and say, you know what happened at school today? You know what I mean? Just engaging in that conversation with them is so important. And for them to know that they are being educated, you know what I mean? And they can break out of the cycle. And that's what we want to do.
Education is an important topic, both on my show, and I can see that it is definitely something that is part of your passion and heart. You studied University of Cape Town, and you studied third world politics and world labor law.
Yeah.
And I read that now you see yourself as a lawyer and politician in your art.
Absolutely.
One question that I'd like to ask is the migration from being a lawyer to become an actress. And some of your perspectives on seeing yourself as lawyer and politician in your art.
You know what? I've never been employed for what I studied for. I came to Joburg and I just fell in love with the bright lights and I just wanted to be on stage and that's exactly what I did. But I think because of the role I played, what I'd studied was so significant. And I think that as a student, it's about adapting your knowledge. I think that's true intelligence because now how important are labor relations when it comes to HIV/AIDS, you know what I mean? Third world politics, I mean, that is basically the life that I'm living, you know? That's the fight that I'm fighting. That's the cause of my purpose and my being. And that's the Africa that I love, you know, which is, you know, as a first world country in an African continent, South Africa. So I love learning. It's a passion of mine. I love to read. I love reading to kids. I love shared experiences through learning. And I never stop learning. I'm currently enrolled in a health and fitness academy. I'm writing a business plan because I want to do that. I've got a radio show, a digital radio show on Cliff Central called Future CEOs. And it's basically an entrepreneurial show, which I know nothing about. But once you are the smartest person in the room, clearly you're in the wrong room. So I just surround myself consistently of people who are smarter than I am. And I believe it's worked for me because I just want to learn more. I'm like, wow, I didn't know that. And it just opens up another door, another avenue, another passion, and another interest.
That is wonderful and really can
I want to be like you one day, Doc. I want to be like you.
I can hear your enthusiasm coming through.
Oh, I've got goosebumps.
Because that's a vital, the vitality of it. And totally, if you're empowering yourself and being surrounded by smart people, you become smart. Become more empowered.
And then you're like, next room, please. You know?
And so greater opportunities for learning.
Absolutely. I love that. I love it.
And then with your entrepreneurial venture, that sounds as that's going to be a health, athletic kind of direction.
You know what? It's everything that I love. It's health. It's goals. It's arts. You know, and that's why writing a businessman, I was like, oh, maybe this might not work out, but I believe in it. And I believe there's a gap in the market for it. And I'm passionate and I'm a hard worker. But it's just everything that I love that I want to it to be a renegade enterprise for girls out there, you know, just to go out and conquer. So I can't, you know, put it in word right now, but I do have a plan and it really is everything that I believe in and everything that I stand for. And yeah, hopefully it'll come to fruition.
Well, we look forward to watching the space on your next venture. We were chatting briefly offline, also sports related, but I thought very, very interesting that you recently did a 16-kilometer race in Franschhoek, Cape Town, for Wings of Life, for spinal cord research. And you'd said that this was
so special.
An event which took place worldwide exactly the same time, exactly the same length. Can you just elaborate a bit more on that?
You know, this is my second time. It's actually the second year in its existence, and it's called the Wings for Life World Run. And as it says, it really is for the cure for spinal cord injury. And this year, it was so different to last year, Dr. Amelia, because they had the disabled people racing as well.
So people who'd experienced spinal cord injuries.
You know, it's one thing for running for a cause and you're all like runners, we're all abled. It's another thing when you experience and you speak to and you get into their shoes and you see how much we take for granted just by being able beings. And you hear the stories of, you know, how do they get to that point? But it's not even that didn't break my heart. What broke my heart is where they are at now with themselves. And then you realize, my God, we've got so much to be grateful for. You think I'm passionate. You think I'm driven. You must hear what those people are doing. You must see what they're doing with their lives. You must see what they're doing for abled people. You must see that spiritually where they are, you know. I'm not saying that they don't want to find a cure either, but they say that maybe sometimes it's the best thing that ever happened to them. And to hear that, just maybe I've got like a very sensitive and emotional spirit, but I was completely moved.
I'm getting goosebumps now as you're talking.
Completely moved by that, you know. And I thought to myself, how can I get involved? Because I'm that kind of girl. I'm hands-on. I dig deep. You know, if I love something, I don't want to do it for this year. It might be too much on my plate, but there's no such thing for us. You know, now I really want to get involved, and I want to get involved as an actress because I believe that there are girls out there in wheelchairs, and they don't see another actress in a wheelchair on television, so they think that's not possible, and that's what I can do. So I'm speaking to some of the, you know, disabled, beautiful, powerful, fearless forces of nature, women that I met, and that's where I'm going to intervene.
And it really speaks about not taking things for granted.
Sure. Yeah. What a wake-up call.
On a lighter note, you had mentioned that you're moving forwards in terms of your business plan for the health and fitness element for your entrepreneurship. Are there any other goals, any other ventures, or what's next on careers?
I want to have babies. I must have babies. I love kids. I do a lot of work. I spend most of my time, you know, with the bambinos. So, you know, for me, it's just one of those things. And as I said to you, I grew up in a large family. So, you know, kids are definitely a must for me. You know, we always, you know, as career women, we always say that, we're not ready, but there's never the right time.
I'd imagine they would be part of life. It won't be taking time out of career. You are a very driven person. So,
no.
But I think that's also part of the experience on looking at how we deal with issues of home, family, life balance and incorporating everything.
Correct.
And some people sort of think it must be a 50-50, but I think that it's sometimes some areas of your life need more time.
Correct.
Than others.
And you know what? You know, I want that space in my life, but, you know, some things get better with age, like a fine red wine.
Beautiful expression. And now we are coming up to the end of the show. In closing our discussion, can you please share a few words of inspiration that you'd like to impart to girls in the continent of Africa who are listening to us today?
I believe in dreaming big, and dreaming big. Dreams are gift givers, and they are motivators. And girls, don't set up roadblocks that will make you not be able to achieve your dreams. I believe in setting your prayers to God, working hard, rising above your challenges, never fearing failure, having a teachable spirit, believing in yourself, having a positive attitude, and always have fun. Always have fun.
Thank you very much for sharing those words of inspiration.
I hope that was okay.
I think that has gone right the way around of both on a level of education, a level on passion, and to lead a full life.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime.
And we'd love to hear more about your roles as actress, athlete, thrill seeker, renegade, educator, warrior scholar.
God bless Africa.
You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, and we have been talking to South African actress Shlubi Mboya.